So as we go to our time of sermon this morning, we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 18. And in our gospel reading this morning, we are confronted with a challenging scene, a challenging parable of Jesus. A parable that I think is particularly relevant for this time in the life of the global church and the Anglican church. We are confronted with questions about what it means to be a leader in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. What does it mean to be an under-shepherd of the good shepherd? And what kind of character is essential and non-negotiable for Christian leaders? This is part of what Jesus speaks to in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. But this parable in Luke 18 is not just for those of us who are called to ordained ministry. It's for every follower of Jesus, because every follower of Jesus is a leader to those around them. And every follower of Jesus is called to the same humility that the tax collector displays, the very same humility that Jesus himself embodies for our salvation. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is a hard-hitting warning for us against pride and arrogance. And it's a calling to genuine Christ-like humility. So take a look with me at Luke chapter 18 in your bulletins or in the Bible. Luke writes, verse 9, that Jesus tells this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Well, whenever we are told by the biblical writers that Jesus tells a parable or teaches a lesson to a particular group of people, it's a good rule of thumb to recognize that we are in that group that he's speaking to. We are those who trust in ourselves and not in God. We are the ones who are self-righteous and those who treat others with contempt. Because if we don't consider ourselves in those groups, then it's more than likely that we're actually the most serious offenders and the ones that Jesus is trying to speak directly to. But often we're blind to our own sin, and we can't see that, which leads us to sin all the more. And so for those of us who are prone to try to wriggle out of certain lessons in the Bible or avoid having to apply a particular teaching of Jesus to our own lives, know that Jesus speaks this parable to each one of us, right? To you and to me. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. It's kind of a rough picture of this Pharisee, in my mind at least. He goes to a public place, the temple, to pray out loud, and he stands before God. And the ESV says he prayed thus. But I like some of the other common translations for this verse, which say the Pharisee prayed about himself. And this we see the posture of his heart, which is inward. We see the position of his heart, which is first and foremost. And we see his selfishness and orientation, or disorientation in regards to other humans and God himself. The Pharisee does not begin his prayer with recognizing his own need for God or a confession of sin or a petition for mercy. And I think one of the things this shows us is that we need to be careful in our prayer as we come before the Lord, because pride can clothe itself in the garments of both praise and penitence. Pride can clothe itself and the garments of both praise and penitence. The Pharisees' blatant and obvious pride, spiritual pride, is trying to disguise itself as praise. To the Pharisee, this might sound like genuine praise, because he's grateful that he's not like these other immoral people. But it's actually just pride, masked as praise and thanksgiving. It's a sort of spiritual pride masked as holiness. The Pharisee sees himself as categorically better than others. He's not an extortionist or unjust or an adulterer or like that tax collector. And the word there, when he says like this tax collector, it actually implies kind of a pointing finger, right? Like this tax collector. This Pharisee appears to be exemplary in his religious commitment and lifestyle. He goes above and beyond what the law requires, and he's happy to tell you about it, right? But he's missing something pretty important, pretty fundamental and essential for true faith. I think the lesson is pretty clear. It's easy for followers of God, for Christians, to see themselves as holy. This is especially true for Christian leaders who have been called holy by the church. And it's really easy to give off the appearance of holiness, especially for leaders. But in reality, we might be severely lacking in the only thing, the only one who makes us holy, and that's Jesus Christ, whose very way is humility. Andrew Murray puts it like this: the chief mark of counterfeit holiness is its lack of humility. Every seeker after holiness needs to be on his guard lest what was begun in the spirit is perfected in the flesh, and pride creep in where its presence is least expected. In other words, it's easy to start off with good intentions for personal piety and holiness, but end up taking a left turn and becoming spiritually prideful and arrogant. It's incredibly easy for us to do that. And that's especially true for Christian leaders and those of us called to ordained ministry. It's too easy to receive accolades and compliments or to be in places of power and authority like the Pharisee was, and then forget that chiefly we are called to practice the same humility that Christ embodies and Christ practices, the very same humility that bought for us our salvation. And if we're honest this morning, as we do some self-examination around spiritual pride and humility, as we examine ourselves, which I think we need to do as the church continually, I think what we see is probably a tendency more towards the Pharisee than we or I would like to admit. And what astounds and kind of embarrasses me, honestly, is that as I do this self-examination, as I was doing it this week in preparation for the sermon, this examination of spiritual pride, I began to bring to God all of the humbling times I've been through. All of the times where I felt broken or wounded or even persecuted. And I would bring those to God as sort of proof of my humility, as evidence that I'm more humble than others. Well, that is spiritual pride, my friends. Eating humble pie is not the same thing as being clothed with humility or having a humble spirit. It's not the same thing as having the lowliness of spirit where we see ourselves as a servant of all and emulate Jesus in this. I think one of the lessons for us from the Pharisee is easy to ignore because we're probably not so blatant in our prayers as the Pharisee. as we go to the prayers of the people later on in the service or during the confession, we're probably not going to be praying out loud, thanking God that we're not like that person over there. We're probably not going to be praying out loud, thanking God that we're not like the sinners in the back. Or at least I hope we're not doing that. But the warning is true and the same for all of us, right? There's no pride so dangerous or subtle and insidious as spiritual pride. And we need to be honest and do some self-examination. And we need to become low in order to become exalted. Now, the tax collector's example shows us a picture of this, a beautiful picture of this. He shows us that we must run to God and cling to Jesus. And that's the only way to be exalted. Verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector's posture is humble before God and before others in the temple. The tax collector is a man who, in the Pharisees' opinion, is doing everything wrong. He's living an unrighteous and unvirtuous life. And that's probably kind of true. But he shows powerful faith and beautiful humility. And Jesus lifts his example up for us to read 2,000 years later. As much as the Pharisee shows the danger of spiritual pride, the tax collector shows us the life-giving beauty of humility. And it might appear that the tax collector lacks, but he certainly could, because he certainly can't be compared to the Pharisee in his outward holiness and his religious commitment. But Jesus tells us that it is, in fact, the tax collector who goes back to his house justified. It is the tax collector who humbled himself before God and thus was exalted. So when we join in the tax collector's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, we join in his humility. And by joining in his humility, we can be in a place where we can be filled with Jesus. One of my favorite books is by the 18th century missionary Andrew Murray. And I've shared a couple quotes with you today, and I know I have in previous sermons as well. The book is called Humility, The Journey Toward Holiness. It's just 100 small pages long, but it's chock full of powerful and convicting wisdom on what it looks like to live a humble life like Jesus. I would love to buy a copy for everyone in this room to take home and read, but I bought several for us, and we have those in the library if you'd like to check one out this week. Andrew Murray describes the beauty of humility like this. The highest glory of a creature is in being only a vessel to receive and enjoy and show forth the glory of God. One can do this only if we are willing to be nothing in ourselves, that God may be all. Water always fills first the lowest places. The lower, the emptier a person lies before God, the speedier and the fuller will be the inflow of the divine glory. Our calling as Christ followers is to be ready to empty ourselves of anything that is not of Jesus, as painful as that process is. And then our calling is to be filled over and over again with Jesus himself. And the miracle of humility is that it is Jesus' humility that brings about our salvation. It is his willingness to be brought low to become nothing, to be beaten and abused and murdered for our sake. It is only by Jesus' ultimate humility that we might have life, that we might have salvation. And therefore, his salvation is our humility. So why would we not try to live this same humility that Jesus lives? And so this week, I want to invite you to join with the tax collector in this season as a church and as the global church. I think God is calling us to go to him in humble, penitential, and honest prayer. We need to go to him lamenting the sin in our own life and the sin in the church. And if you don't know what to say, if you don't know how to pray, well, we have a perfect and timeless prayer right here. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or as the Jesus prayer adapts it to say, Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe that God is calling us to a season of humility and lament, a season in which we take the posture of the tax collector, a season in which we seek to embody first and foremost the beautiful humility of Jesus Christ. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.